Hello, this is Rabbi Eli Rothberger from the Young Israel Pasei Clifton. We are continuing our Daf HaShavua series. This year is on Daf Lamed Beis and Maseches Megillah, a very happy Daf, as it marks the completion of Maseches Megillah. Mazel Tov to all the Mesayimim. The topic today is going to be discussing the greatness of Gelilah. Now, the Gemara introduces the following, or our discussion, with the following halachic statement said by Rav Shefatia. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Shefatia, Amar Rav Yochanan, Rav Shefatia said, Amar Rav Yochanan, Asara Shekaru B'Torah, 10 people read the Torah, we'll see exactly what that means, Hagodol Mehem, the greatest of them, Golel Sefer Torah. He is the one who does what we will just say right now, the rolling of the Sefer Torah. He does what we will call Galila on the Sefer Torah, and Hagololo, the one who does what we call Galila on the Sefer Torah, no tel schar kulam, he receives the reward for all of them. I wanted to raise 2 points in this year. The first point is, what exactly does the word Asara mean? Asara shakaru batorah. And the second one, what exactly does the word Hagololo mean? Now, we just said the one who gets, quote-unquote, Galila. The truth of the matter is this is not so simple, and it's actually a discussion in the Rishonim. But before we get to the second question, let's address the first question. And that first question, again, is looking at the statement of Rav Shefatia. Rav Shefatia says, Asara shakaru batorah Hagodol mehem gol. When you have 10 people reading the Sefer Torah, the greatest one does what they call is the Golel. What exactly does this word Asara refer to? So many Rishonim, such as Rashi and the Ran, say it refers to the fact that Asara are the number of people present when the Torah is being read. We know Kriya Satorah falls into the category of things that are requiring a minion. We don't lean a Sefer Torah, we don't lean from a Sefer Torah if we don't have more than 10 men. So therefore, the context of and the correct reading of the Braisa would be, the correct reading of the Gemara would be, when you have 10 gathered to hear Kriya Satorah, so the greatest one of those 10 people gathered to hear this Kriya Satorah, he's the one who was the Golo. Now, you might ask, you know, the truth of the matter is, while it does say, Asara Shakaru, and right, you do need a minion for Kriya Satorah, the truth of the matter is, saying Asara is a little bit superfluous, because we already know the halacha that Kriya Satorah requires a minion. If the Mishnah of the Braisa Gemara would have just simply said Karu Batorah without putting in the word Asara, so then we could have gotten the same idea out of it. And we didn't necessarily have to put down the fact that you need a minion for Kriya Satorah. Now again, is there a problem by saying Asara? Technically, no. And is a Gemara like Chumash where we're medayik in every single word necessarily to find, you know, one extra word missing in the Gemara? Is that a problem in the Gemara? No, it's not a problem in Gemara. But you do have this ha'ara, is why does the Gemara have to mention the word asara, according to this opinion? All right, while it is a ha'ara, it definitely does not negate the plausibility of this shita. And the explanation, this first shita, posed by Rashi, the Ran, and many other Rishonim, is Asara Shakaru is referring to just simply a minion, and there we have it over there. Now the Bala Itor brings down another Shita. And the Bala Itor says that the words of Sheftia have the following explanation. And it means really not just 10 people in general of a minion, but it means the 10 people who have participated in the reading of the Kriya Satorah, the 10 people who have participated in the service, or the 10 people who have been called to the Torah, they're the ones who, the greatest of that person, gets Galila. And the obvious question is, you know, we had mentioned that in previous Mishnah, we have different number of permutations of Kriya Satorah. We have on Shabbos, we have 7, Yontif 5, Yom Kippur 6, and so on. We never have a permutation where there are 10 aliyahs, or at least most people, at least where we live in Passaic, would be very upset if you have 3 Hosefas on a Shabbos morning. In fact, I think it's something which is almost unheard of in our community completely. I think there might be one shul that I know of in Passaic that I've davened over the years that has actually made Hosefas. Almost every other shul, even with all the simchas that they have, Kenayin Hara, they don't make Hosefas. So what is the idea of 10 people leaning the Torah? So And Bala Yitur explains that the Asara refers to the following group of people. You have seven people who got an Aliyah. You have a Baal Kore, a Kore, a Kriya, a Kore. So the Kore would make it eight. You have a Maftir. And you have Omer Torgaman. Torgaman was a person who translated the Kriya Satora. They still actually do this in the Taimani community. Is that they'll read a couple of psukim and then this person would translate it using Targum Unkelus and so on. So, once you have this, you come out with the fact that when it says, of the 10 people who read from the Torah, or 10 people who participated in the Kriya Satorah service, so the greatest of them gets Kalila. So, just understanding this word, just as with one understanding of the word Asara, poses a huge nafkamina between the two readings. Namely what? Who is entitled, or of whom, which pool of people do we pick to do, to be the Golo? What do I mean? Well, if you look at the first understanding of the Gemara, that Asar just refers to a minion. So basically it says, you have a minion of people who are involved in Kriya Satorah. So the greatest of that person of the minion, he doesn't have to be somebody who leaned. He doesn't have to be somebody who was Metargim. He doesn't have to be somebody who got an Aliyah. He's the one who you're called up to be the Golo. While the second Shita, brought down by the Baal HaItor, the second Shita would say that no, you need Bedafka, somebody who came from that pool, who was involved, either he was the getting an Aliyah, or whether he was the Valkyria or the Maftir, this person, only from that pool do you take Galila from, or how would we be the Golo? So, again, the nafkamina is, from who do we choose to take over? Do we say that's the person who is anybody from the shul, or do we say that it's anybody, or only the people who are involved in the Kriya Satorah? And that's, you know, perhaps, you can always say, you know, the possible suggestion is, what is the lumbus behind this machlokas over here? And you can say that maybe the difference between the two opinions is based on how do we view this idea or this institution of HaGolo. Do we say that the concept of being the Golo, again, we're not defining exactly what it is at this particular point, but do we say that this idea refers to the institution of Kriya Satorah, meaning it's part of what we do when we read a Sefer Torah? So when you read a Sefer Torah, you have people who read, and you also have a person who is Golo. It doesn't necessarily have to be the same type of person, but rather, it's part of the whole institution of Kriya Satorah. Or do we say that no, it's a specific part, it's related to the actual Kriya, that it's a specific function of the Kriya. And because it's a specific function of the Kriya, does that mean it only has to be, or could only be done by somebody who is actually involved in the Kriya itself? So again, possible suggestion of a lumdus between, of a svara, of a hesber between the machlokes, about whether the golel could be anybody from just the plain minion, or the golel has to be one of the actual participants, is the idea of golel, or this institution of golel, is a part of just the whole service of Kriya Satorah, or is it an actual chelik of the Kriya itself? Now, what exactly is Golo? So, in general, you can start with a little anecdote. I remember many years ago when I was in Yerushalayim for a Shabbos, and stayed by a very chash of a Rav by Har Nof, and he told us that, you know, I believe he davened in an earlier minyan, but he comes to a later minyan, again, this is a culture shock for us Americans learning in yeshiva when he told us that the later minion was the 8 o'clock minion. But he says he always comes to the second minion to lay in there. Meet us at the second minion, you'll be there. So I come to the second minion. It's a Hasidisha type shtiebel in Har Nof. And the person comes over to me and says, could you do Hagba? And I said, okay, fine, I'll do Hagba. I was, you know, 18 at the time and able to do Hagba. And so I sit down, take my chumash, and get ready for Kriya Satorah. And then he calls me up in the beginning, and he says, "Nu, come." And I'm like, what am I supposed to mean? Hagba's always at the end. And he comes and says, "No, pick up the Torah." I pick up the Torah, and I'm about to sit down. He goes, "No, don't sit down. Put the Sefer Torah back on the bima." And I thought it was the strangest thing. I'd never seen anything like that before. The truth of the matter is, the Sfardim and many other Hasidic Kehillos, this is what they do before the Lame Meal. What we call Hagba, their Hagba is picking up the Sefer Torah before you start laning. And in fact, the Beis Yosef points out that this exactly is what a Golel is. The Golel is the person who picks up the Sefer Torah before it's read. And the Aruch HaShulchan says that the schar that he's getting is, he's opening it up, he's showing it to everybody, and he's preparing everybody for Kriyas HaTorah. So this is the concept of HaGolel, or the person lifting up the Torah, the Hagba type of thing, what we would call Hagba. This is the concept of what HaGolel is, according to that approach. The approach of most poskim, though, is that it's not what we call Hagba, but rather what we refer to as Galila. And the idea is, what happens is, after Kriyas HaTorah, somebody picks up the Sefer Torah, shows it to everybody, then another person comes and puts the Sefer Torah back together, rolling it, tying the Sefer, and then covering the Sefer with the mantle. Happens to be that, excuse me, there is a wine-standing minhag in many Ashkenazi kehillos at least, that Galila does not necessarily have to be given out to the Rav. I mean, I've never really seen on a Shabbos morning calling up the Rav for Galila. The Hefech, I've seen calling up the Rav for Maftir, which we know historically has never really been the most chashuv aliyah, but these days it is. But we never call up the Rav for Galila. In fact, fakir, we'll call up for Galila, sometimes even a katan, somebody who's younger. I remember getting Galila when I was in 7th grade. We were diving in one of the smaller minyanim in our shul. And I remember, first time I ever got an aliyah on Rosh Hashanah was in 7th grade. I was 12 years old, or just about 12 years old. And I was given Galila. Of course, I had no idea what I was doing. I was really nervous. It took me a while to learn how to do it. But that's when I got Galila. And I also know that sometimes a person can make a simcha. They might have a relative who's, they're not so observant, not so proficient in Hebrew, and they want to honor him, they want to give him a kavod, you know, without having him break his teeth on, without having him break his teeth on the brachos or do something like that. You give him Galila, you show him what to do. It's something, it's a way to honor somebody who's otherwise not able to participate in the regular Kriyas HaTorah service. Now, it's a wonderful thing, and don't get me wrong, and you want to honor everybody, and you want to give kavod to everybody, and you want to have everybody sharing the simcha, but I want the relative who doesn't know really how to say the brachos on the Torah. Might be a wonderful person, a great person, as a person, he probably wouldn't be characterized as Hagodol Shebehem, the greatest person in your congregation. Excuse me. I'm usually referring to somebody's greatness in Torah and so on. I'd find it rather challenging to say that somebody who can't read Hebrew is going to be the greatest Talmud Chacham in your minyan. So why is it that? So let's first point out that Mishnah Berurah brings down that already from the times of the Eliyahu Rabba and the Magen Avraham, this concept of giving what we call Galila to the Gadol stopped. In fact, because of Darkei Shalom, this was one of these things that changed a little bit, and it was actually given to anybody who wanted it. It was actually given to the person who actually paid the most amount of money for it, because already from back then we see that they used to sell aliyos. And selling aliyos is a very important thing in halacha. It's also a very important thing in the shul's bottom line, but that's a different point. But yeah, the reason why we want this is because it shows that the mitzvah is very valuable and very special. When a person is willing to pay a certain amount of money to get an aliyah, or to get a galila, or a hagba, it shows that it's very important to him. When you're mechaber of the mitzvahs, that brings a very, very big kavod. So, the fact is, because of Darkei Shalom, we waived another halacha. What was the other halacha? The other halacha is really, we know this, and it says in the Mishnah, in Horios, that, you know, a kohen, a talmud chacham, a mamzer, talmud chacham, and a kohen, a ma'aretz, who's supposed to go first? Mamzer, talmud chacham, right? A talmud chacham is supposed to come first. Yet, because of Darkei Shalom, we changed the institution in Kriyas HaTorah to be the procedure of aliyah, so the kohen is always going to get the first aliyah. So just like we changed it by word of Aliyah, we did it over here as well. So the question is, though, what makes Galila such a great thing that you would get such a great schar? So the teretz is brought down by the Mishnah Berurah is that it shows that you're taking the Torah and you're wrapping the Sefer Torah and you're putting the Sefer Torah back. You're showing care and you're showing that the Sefer Torah is not just some type of scroll that we read from, but it's something that needs to be cared for. And it's not just the physical Sefer Torah, you know, the parchment and such, but it also symbolizes the idea of what a Sefer Torah stands for. The mitzvos within, the connection between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way how it builds us and makes us into better people and connects us with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Being the person in shul who does this and shows this chashivas and shows this caring, you definitely get a great schar. Not only the schar for doing the mitzvah, but also something that you can internalize through what you're doing. And this, the Mishnah Berurah explains, is why we'll give a katan galila. Because again, once we've already changed the order and taken away gadol shebehen, because of darkei shalom, we can already give this to a katan, because what better way to be mechanech a katan by giving him this opportunity to, first of all, engage in this mitzvah of chibuv haTorah, of showing care and love for the Torah, and the intention is that this is something that the young man will internalize and take into his daily life, something that he's going to be having with him for a very, very long time. So this is why we would give a katan galila. That's the justification for it, as explained by the Mishnah Berurah, and the hope is that the chavivas haTorah that has come through this limud of Maseches Megillah will continue to lead to more growth and more connection between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu and our very special Torah as we move on to many other Masechtos. Mazel Tov to all the Messiahim, Kol Tov.